Several weeks ago, as we moved into chapter 4 of Philippians, I mentioned to you that our next sermon series would be about the judgments of God. And through these last several weeks, I have been praying through that and was back and forth. Should I? Shouldn't I? Should we? Etc. And then also speaking with one that I trust very much to give me guidance and things like this, encouraged me that maybe now was not necessarily the right time for a lengthy series on the harshness, if you will, of the judgments of God. However, as I've mentioned to you, and we talked about it again this morning in Sunday school, that we are to be in our teaching and in our preaching as balanced as the Bible is balanced. Not overlooking one subject in particular because it might be difficult, going to those that are easier to preach. I mean, it'd be wonderful to preach John 3:16 every Sunday. But there's a whole lot more to the Bible than John 3:16. And so we see in the Old Testament God's judgments against a rebellious people. We learn in the Old Testament that there came a period of time when God gave up Israel, meaning that he turned his favor away from Israel and he left them to their own designs. Israel was once a beautiful garden. What do you see in Israel today? Rocks. God withdrew his favor because of a rebellious, continuously rebellious people. So I want to bring the sermon today in two parts, two topics. And the first part gives way to the need of the second part. And that's the reason I said the sermon time today is going to be a little bit lengthier, because I didn't want to do this in two parts over two Sundays, because if you're like me, I don't know what I heard yesterday sometimes. So I want to put it all together because the first part demands that we have the second part. So I ask the question, what does the judgment of God look like for a nation? As I said, you can look at Israel today, God's chosen people, yet they don't look very chosen today, both in their conduct and in their nation as a whole. So what does the judgment of God look like? Well, first of all, there are several facets of God's judgment. There is the end times judgment that we read about and are knowing that day of judgment is coming. That's when that final verdict will be expressed. And those who are of the Lord will ascend into heaven, and those who are not of the Lord will be placed in hell. That's one level of God's judgment. There is the judgment of cataclysmic events. If you look out across our land today, why do we have hurricanes and storms and lightning and tornadoes and all of that? Well, that's the sinful curse upon our land, and that is the creation groaning. But it is expressing God's judgment against the land. When we are redeemed on that day of judgment, so will this creation. You read in Revelation 21, the new heavens and new earth are going to descend. Then God is going to make all things new. And so you will see that reversal. But right now, we see God's judgment on creation by what people would call the natural acts of Mother Earth, Mother Nature. Well, there ain't no Mother Nature. That's God. But then there is a third one. And actually, there's more, but I'm going to stop there. There is the judgment of abandonment. And as I said, God has turned away from Israel. That's the judgment of abandonment. He has left them. his favor has left them until they repent. So what does the judgment of abandonment look like? Go with me to Romans chapter 1. What does the judgment of abandonment look like? And then I'm going to ask you following this a very, very, very serious question. Romans 1:18. Verse 18, hear the inspired, inerrant, infallible word of the living God. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made, so that they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. Therefore, God gave them up in the lusts of their heart to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions. For their women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature. And the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another. Men committing shameless acts with men, receiving in themselves the due penalty for their error. And since they did not see to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. They know God's righteous decrees, and those who practice such things deserve to die. They not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them. Three times, I asked, let me back up. I asked what the judgment of God looks like. The judgment of abandonment. What we see here in Romans chapter 1 is that judgment of abandonment. Three times here, the writer, Paul, says, God gave them up. God gave them up. God gave them up. Not once, three times. Why would God give up on a people and turn away from them? Verse 20. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived even ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man. The nation turned away from God. And so he gave them up. And when God gives them up, what happens to a nation? What happens to a nation when God says, okay, let's look at some things that happen when God says, I'm done. Verse 24. God gave them up in the lusts of their heart to impurities, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves. Think of the first century Roman culture, where homosexuality, bestiality, incest were rampant. They began doing things that were not natural and emphasizing the sexual aspects of a society. Sound familiar? Secondly, verse 26. This is what the judgment of God looks like in abandonment, the second thing. For this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions, for their women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature. And the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passions for one another, men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty for error. I don't think anything needs to be said there. God gave them up. Thirdly, verse 28. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manners of unrighteousness, evil. I'll stop there. You look out across a society and things are happening and you go, are you serious? That seems logical to you? It is logical to what is written here, a debased mind. Read insanity. No longer having sane thoughts. No longer being controlled by a rationale guided by wisdom, but from a debased, uncontrolled, fallen, depraved mind comes these decisions, activities, guidance, etc., that seem right. Yet there are those of us, I pray, you look at them and go, well, God gave them up. And part of giving them up was he let them move off into their insanity. And then finally, verse 32. Though they know God's righteous decrees that those who practice such things deserve to die, though they know God's righteous decrees that those who practice such things deserve to die. They know the truth, as it's said over here. They've turned from it, and they know people who practice these things deserve to die. Yet, the latter half of verse 32, they not only do them, but give approval to those who do. How many laws, how many movements in our land today are giving approval and defending these things through our courts, our politicians, our councils, our schools? See, it, again, it's an descending ranking of depravity. And then you get to verse 32, and not only do they know that these things are against God's truth, and these deserve to die, they'll go, it's fine with me, and we'll create a law that approves it. And anyone who disagrees with it is bigoted, close-minded, racist. And here's the serious question for you. is the United States under the judgment of abandonment? I can't answer that question because I'm not given it in Scripture. So I'll leave that answer to you. And I think everyone in this room is wise enough to see what is happening to our culture, what has happened and will happen. The next question is this: can a nation under the judgment of abandonment from God return? Again, I'll leave that to you.